time again for another Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. In the top of the news today, here we have on NBC News Business, car culture shock, Americans putting brakes on driving, by Philip LeBeau, CNBC. It may not seem like there are fewer traffic jams, and gas stations probably look busier than ever every time you stop to fill up, but a new study shows that Americans are actually driving less. We're seeing a steady shift in how people get around, with more people leaving their keys at home and finding other ways to get around. This is an important change, said Michael Sivak, who conducted the study at the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute. This is the first time we've ever seen a drop like this. As an aside, it says, teen drivers nearly double car insurance premiums. Yeah, according to the study, driving in the U.S. reached a peak in 2004 and has been declining steadily ever since. When you look at the distance driven rate, we are where we were back in the mid-90s, Sivak said. In 2011, the most recent year for which data is available, the average licensed driver racked up 12,492 miles behind the wheel. That's down 1,221 miles, or 8.9%, from the peak 7 years earlier. The fact that the number of miles driven began falling 4 years before the recession indicates that people changed their driving habits for reasons that go beyond saving money, Sivak said. Well, he's getting paid, isn't he? Though the recession and slow recovery contributed to people cutting back on driving or cutting it out altogether, the study pointed to four other reasons we're getting out of cars and trucks. Yeah, look for the other reasons. The trends in these underlying factors suggest a major societal change with respect to personal transportation, Sivak said. Number one, telecommuting and improved telecommunications. More people are working from home or attending meetings via Skype and other new technologies. As telecommunication becomes more sophisticated and reliable, more people are realizing they don't need to hit the road. Well, let me tell you, there are more people out of work, and they've got no job to drive to, huh? Number two, increased use of public transportation. Yeah, because you can afford to get on the bus, right? More people are taking trains, buses, subways, and ferries. Well, that's partly because there are more options available. Many find that public transit is more economical than owning and maintaining a vehicle. No kidding. Number three, the urbanization boom. More people are moving into or near cities where they have greater access to public transportation for work as well as recreation, those that work. The nation is aging and older people drive less. Number four, as more baby boomers retire, fewer members of that generation go to work every day. No kidding, because they can't find jobs. In addition, studies show that people drive less as they get older. No license? No problem. Over the last decade, auto executives have been trying to solve a problem few ever thought they would confront. Teens, even young people in their 20s and 30s, have decided they don't want a driver's license, let alone a car. Yeah, well, I can't blame them. While that may sound puzzling to the millions who remember the excitement of turning 16 and getting their license, researchers said there has been a fundamental shift in young people's attitudes. Now, 9 years after we reached a peak in miles driven, some wonder if a country defined by the automobile in the last century is on a different road. The economic implications could be enormous. What will happen to auto sales in the future? Will gas tax revenue, the primary source of funding to maintain roads and bridges, start to decline? I think it already has. Are government leaders from the federal to the local level prepared to spend more money on building and maintaining public transportation? I would say not. Enough on that subject. Now on to the fun part of the news, the Harper's Weekly Review, dated today, July 30th, 2013. in Cairo, security forces loyal to General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi opened fire on supporters of deposed Egyptian president and Muslim Brotherhood party leader Mohamed Morsi, killing at least 83 people. Police detained 73 protesters and two Islamist political leaders, and the Muslim Brotherhood called for 1 million people to march in Cairo on Tuesday. Egyptian officers said Interior Minister Mohamed Ibrahim have never and will never shoot a bullet on any Egyptian. Yeah, right. In a suburb of Tunis, two gunmen assassinated People's Party leader Mohamed Brahmi in front of his wife and children. In Benghazi, Libya, more than 1,000 prisoners escaped from the Kouyafaya prison, and pro-democracy activist Abdel Salam al-Mizmari was shot and killed as he left a mosque. Syrian government forces killed 19 children and 10 adults in a missile attack on Aleppo. And the United Nations announced that more than 100,000 people have now died in the Syrian civil war. It is thus imperative, said Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, to have a peace conference in Geneva. The Obama administration announced plans to repatriate two Algerian prisoners being held at Guantanamo Bay. Neuroscientists at MIT gave mice false memories of having had their feet shocked inside a box. George H.W. Bush shaved his head. Attorney General Eric Holder announced that the United States would not seek the death penalty against Edward Snowden for leaking information about the National Security Agency's spying programs. And the NSA asked a reporter from ProPublica to modify a Freedom of Information Act request because it has no central method to search an email. Turkey exonerated a Kestrel accused of spying for Israel. An Indian scientist confirmed that bright lights detected over Indian airspace and suspected of being Chinese drones were in fact Jupiter and Venus. Spanish authorities filed 79 charges of negligent homicide against the driver of a train that crashed while reportedly traveling 121 miles an hour along a tight curve near Santiago de Compostela. Pope Francis celebrated World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro by donning a ceremonial headdress given him by a shirtless man from the Pataxo tribe, visiting the impoverished Varginha favela and speaking on Copacabana Beach before crowds estimated at 1.5 million and 3 million. Possessions, money, and power can give a momentary thrill, the illusion of being happy, but they end up possessing us, said the Pope. I'm pretty surprised that people who call themselves Christians would throw away all this food, said a bottle picker. A New York Times investigation found that U.S. investment banks were causing consumer price increases by stockpiling such commodities as aluminum, coffee, cotton, oil, and wheat, and that Goldman Sachs was shuffling aluminum among warehouses outside Detroit in order to delay the metal's entry to market. It's a merry-go-round of metals, said a forklift operator. Parisian gendarmes seized 60 tons of tin Eiffel Tower replicas, and a gunman stole $136 million worth of jewels from the Cannes Hotel, featured in the Alfred Hitchcock film To Catch a Thief. A wrongful death lawsuit was filed against a Michigan man who wrote, "Kill Kathy, kill Kathy, kill Kathy," on a chore list before killing his wife. And a man believed to have killed five seniors in Shunan, Japan, was arrested on a mountain near his home, where police found a haiku on a window that read, "Setting a fire, smoke gives delight, to a country fellow." The London Fire Brigade speculated that the erotic novel 50 Shades of Grey might be responsible for a rise since 2010 in emergency calls from people needing to be freed from restraints. New Jersey hospitals were preparing for a 20% increase in births anticipated because of a rise in conceptions during October's Hurricane Sandy. People just love hurricanes and sex, said an economics professor. Virginia E. Johnson, co-author of the pioneering 1966 book Human Sexual Responses, passed away at 88. And New York City mayoral candidate Anthony Weiner was revealed to have exchanged graphic messages and photographs on the internet under the pseudonym Carlos Danger following his resignation from Congress for similar activities in 2011. He's really not a changed man, said the editor who broke the story. He's Carlos Danger. A Greek teenager shot himself in the foot to impress a girl. Peahens were found to evaluate peacocks by the width and motion, not the ornamentation of their trains. Officials in Los Angeles closed three campgrounds after diagnosing a squirrel with plague. And six feral cats knocked down a woman in Belfort, France, and pierced one of her arteries. Cats are not the new zombies of the apocalypse, said a veterinarian. A zonkey named Ippo was born in Florence. An albino African hedgehog gave birth to triplets in a Moscow zoo. And Prince William and his wife, the Duchess of Cambridge, named their newborn son George Alexander Lewis. A spectator threw a banana at Cécile Kyenge, Italy's first black cabinet minister, while she spoke at a rally. And an American family vacationing in Greece caught the second hexapus ever seen in the wild, then ate it with tomato and lemon. It just tasted like a normal octopus, said the father, but now I feel really bad. And this article was authored by Jeremy Keene. And once again, we have reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News in Review. Ladies and gentlemen, please be kind to each other in the coming week and stay out of the news.